it's Steve and Dave again. We are two guys in a river. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
No doubt we all want to catch more fish. I want to, and Dave needs to.
Ooh, that hurts.
But we're all about fly fishing and our love for the outdoors, so let's get after it. Dave, I don't know if you realize this, but you and I have gotten a bit edgy in recent years. Yes, we are fly fishers who are living on the edge, or maybe we have an edge to us.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. We live in the Midwest. We're a little older than 55, and you even have grandkids. So I just don't think we're living on the edge, do you?
Yeah, I know. That doesn't sound like us, but hear me out on this. When I say that we're living on the edge, it's not that we've taken up skydiving or bungee jumping, at least I haven't, but we tend to fly fish on the edges of the season.
Ah, oh that, yes, absolutely, gotcha.
Yeah, so
we do that.
Yeah, so in that way, I guess you could say we're edgy, right? Or we live on the edge. Well, maybe not, but hey, that's our topic for today, fishing the edges of the season. Now, what do we mean by that, Dave, when we say that we like to fly fish the edges of the season?
So I think we mean it both metaphorically and concretely. Let me just talk about how we think about it concretely. So what we mean is the edges of prime time fly fishing. So we like to fish in late fall. We like to fish in early spring. And another way to phrase it, we like to fish in the white spaces. And the white spaces are the times in which there's fewer fly fishers. It might be colder, it might be more risky, but it also has to do with some of our highest values, which is fishing with less people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just recently, back in January, it was like the first week of January. So in Wisconsin, the season closes from, I think, mid-October, all the streams close until I think it's like the first Saturday of January. So we were driving to Minneapolis. My son lives there. And so we took a back route. So I swear it was 23 degrees outside. It was a Saturday. And we drove by a stream and there were two fly fishers trudging in the snow. There had to be a foot of snow.
Oh, that's the other reason why you can call it white spaces, correct?
Oh, man. So here it is. Now, yes, it was the first day of fly fishing, and you could argue that that's not the white space, but given the fact that it was 23 degrees, honestly, I think it dropped to like 19 degrees in the next hour, and we were in the middle of the day. So here are these two fly fishers out,
yeah,
fishing in a foot of snow and fishing in 20 degree weather, and that is a great example of fishing the edges of the season.
Yeah, and you mentioned this already or alluded to this, but one of the big reasons for fishing the edges is the crowds are gone. And doesn't it seem like that more and more our streams tend to be more crowded? I mean, we want to say that, you know, other people have just as much right as we do to be on a stream, and we're glad to see fly fishing be a popular sport, but frankly, it just seems like there's more people out, right?
I think we have to hold two things. One is you want the sport to grow, you want new people to get into the sport, but at the other time, there's this other side of me that thinks, you know, it kind of kills the sport when you go up to your favorite place to fish and there's already a truck there or two trucks
That's brutal. Dave, do you think the pandemic had anything to do with that spike?
Well, the data seems to show that. I was digging around the other day on the web and there was a report from a year ago, so this was 2022. In that year, maybe it was the 12 months prior, I'm trying to figure out what the timeline was of the study, but there were 52 million people that had fished at least once. Now, this wasn't fly fishing, obviously. It's the total. I think fly fishing is less than a tenth of what the total fishing universe is in the U.S. But But 37% of those were women, and there's been a huge increase, especially in fly fishing, with women getting into the sport, which is a great thing. Yeah. Here's an example. It's really a sad example, but it's a concrete example. Somebody during COVID, it was a friend of a friend's friend, but I heard this story about a month after it happened. So it was someone who, during COVID, she and her husband, about 55 years old, and son, decided they were going to go to Montana. In preparation, they got all their fly fishing gear. They took casting lessons. I think they were from Ohio. And they traveled to Bozeman and then fished the Yellowstone, had a guide, and she drowned.
Oh, right? My.
So her husband and her son were fishing with a guide, so the three of them. And she stepped into a hole, and just the Yellowstone just pulled her down.
Oh, my.
So tragic. So my point isn't the tragedy. The tragedy almost overtakes my point here.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have entered into the stream, so to speak, of fly fishing. And so what that simply means is, for us at least, is the importance of fishing when other people are not fishing, right? In the white spaces or on the edges of the season.
And to your point, we know a couple of fly shop owners in Bozeman, Montana, who told us that, I mean, their businesses just took off during the pandemic.
Yeah.
That's everybody wanted to get outside, and fly fishing was one of those great outlets. So, we still see the residual pieces of that. It's just getting more and more crowded, and a place like Bozeman has just exploded in population, not just due to fly fishing, but that population explosion, you know, maybe some of it's due to the movie or to the series Yellowstone, you know, Kevin Costner's series, which is now filmed south of Missoula, down in the Bitterroot Valley, I think around Hamilton. But anyway, that you know, that show has just created so much interest in people moving to Montana and people during the pandemic who wanted to get out of the cities, and they were able to work remotely. I mean, it's just been crazy. So,
can I insert something here?
Oh, yeah, please.
So one of the reasons people think, well, how can they afford it? Like, how can people afford, like, going out and buying a bunch of land? I saw the statistic that baby boomers, again, these are people our age, we're either at the cusp of the Gen X generation or at the end of the baby boomers. So the key thing here is that the baby boomers, think about this, have a third of the wealth of the entire world. Think about that.
Oh, that's astounding. Now, just to clarify, that's not these two baby boomers on this podcast, right?
Well, we haven't purchased any property in Montana
no,
yet, have
maybe,
we?
No, maybe we're Gen Xers. Well, yeah, in fact, the house that we built in Montana in 97, you know, when we sold it in like 2005 for $350,000, now it's valued at like $1.4
million. Unbelievable.
I mean, so, yeah, I couldn't go back. I couldn't afford that. But
holy cow. That's almost five times of what you
just
sold it for.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So the reason is that there's a lot of money out there, especially older people, and so people are looking for lifestyle, and so, gosh, in a sense, they've kind of destroyed Bozeman. But so it's also put a lot of pressure on fly fishing.
Yeah.
Pure and simple.
It really has. So in the margins or the white space, it's tends to be colder, rainier, snowier, and that keeps people away, right?
Yeah, it really does. The other margin would be in the middle of the week, and I know a lot of you are not able to fish in the middle of the week, but that's, in a sense, another metaphorical edge, because it just, if you're fishing Saturday or Sunday or even late afternoon Friday, you're just fishing with the masses.
Yeah, you know, hunting is another one, too. When I lived in Montana, I didn't fish that often in September and October because I was bow hunting for elk from Labor Day weekend to the end of September, and then rifle season started the last week of October, and there was only one year out of about maybe 14 that I really bow hunted hard that I finally shot a bull elk with a bow.
It took you 14 years to shoot one with a bow?
Probably it took me a decade. I mean, we had elk all over us, and sometimes these bulls are so close you couldn't get a shot, and I But yeah, finally, we had a blast. And
so how close do you have to be with a bow to shoot an elk?
You know, back in the day, we were, we were comfortable up to about 35, maybe 40 yards if things are perfect. The idea would be about 20, 25 yards. We had times where I had elk in, a big old bull 5 yards away, but it was right behind a spruce tree, and it herded its cows right around. I thought they're gonna trample me, and it wouldn't move, and it would not come around. It was raking its antlers, and
unbelievable.
Just 2 steps to one side, it would have had a shot. But I had so many stories like that, and finally, I shot a bull at about 30 yards.
Huh.
But we had a blast, and of course, sometimes one year I shot a bull during rifle season that I saw in bow season. In fact, it ended up in the very same place. But this is a fly fishing podcast, so yeah, let me get back on target. Anyway, I was so busy hunting in September and October that I didn't fish much. And, you know, we've noticed that too when we're in Montana that time of year. There's enough fly fishers that some fly fishers do both, or some fly fishers are just fly fishers. They don't hunt that much, but yeah, there's more opportunity. And so, yeah, when would you say, Dave, as you think about our year, what's it look like? Maybe there's times where we don't fish that might surprise people.
I think we should start there. We often don't fish much beyond the first week of June. I know that sounds really crazy, but certainly June 15th, third week of June.
And there's different reasons for that, right? In the West, it's because of snow runoff.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
here
right.
In the Midwest, it's...
It's simply because once you get, the water gets warmer, obviously, even though it's a spring creek, it gets a little warmer, which is fine because spring creeks tend to run, 51, 52 degrees, mm-hmm. I think is somewhere what they run. But these small spring creeks, they get weedy.
Yeah.
And all the brush around the bank grows up. So like in the spring, you don't have to worry about that with your cast. But in July and August, all that brush, all the grass has gotten really tall.
Yep.
And some of it is very, very difficult to fish. So something that's easy to fish in the spring becomes mm-hmm. very, very difficult in the summertime.
You remember one year, when we took a summer trip, I think it was late June, to Timber Cooley, and we went to the Bohemian Valley, and there was nobody. We thought, this is going to be awesome. Well, there was a reason we didn't see a car.
No.
There was no trucks, no vehicles. That's because everybody else knew what we didn't. This is a terrible time of year to fly fish.
So I know the fly shops will argue differently, and they're much better fly fishers than we are. But honestly, at least in the Driftless area, mm-hmm. post June 15th, I honestly don't fish typically until early September again.
Right. And even in Montana, when I lived there, I fished a lot in July and August, but we never plan trips to Montana in July and August unless there's some, you and I don't. And the only time I would is if I'm out there for some family get together or whatever, but that's not when I want to fish, because there are so many other people fly fishing, and that's great. But it's not great if you want less
downside,
pressure.
The downside to that is like late July, August is kind of hopper season. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And historically, I think you and I made one or two trips out to Montana in that first mm-hmm. week of August. Remember that when we fished in Wyoming? Was it the big, what was that river we fished in? The Bighorn?
The Wyoming Bighorn.
The Wyoming, mm-hmm. we fished that.
That
was really good, yeah. So some of it has to do not necessarily because the fishing is poor, but because of how crowded it is.
Right.
So honestly, if we go in September, it's early September, we want to still catch those hoppers, but it's post Labor Day.
Yep. And even in the West, in a year that's dry and water's temperatures are lower, the water levels are lower, the temperatures start to rise in those rivers, in August. And, you'll have, like in the lower Madison in Montana, you'll have just people pleading, don't fish after 11 in the morning. It's just too hot.
Hard
if you catch a fish, it'll just stress them. So. Fishing the edges of the season means less pressure. I think also, let's say, hey, more accommodations.
Absolutely.
Cheaper prices, yep. Easier to get a hotel if that's where you want, what you're going to do, or even a campground. Yeah, like you and I camp anymore, like we used to.
Yeah.
Now it's all hotels.
Been quite a few years.
Yeah, but we're hotels. I mean, come on, we're talking about, for you and me, it's Super 8. It's not like we're staying at the Hilton.
No.
Not that there's
and we split it, so that's nice.
Yeah, not that there's a Hilton in Gardner, Montana or West Yellowstone, but it is. It's cheaper, and it works out great.
Well, one thing I like about late fall is the browns, right?
Well, yeah,
the browns
that's what I was going to say. There's also some great fishing, right?
Yeah, there's great fishing, yeah.
I mean, yeah, the later you fish in the fall, better chance you're going to have of catching a big brown. And we've had some good days, haven't we, in the fall? And
we have. We've
later
had some,
even.
Yeah, some really good days. I would say this, that if you're going to fish in the fall, at least in the West, it's always best to, and you can't plan this, right? So if you're planning a trip in the West, it's hard to know this, but the best times that we've had is when there's been like a big snow, like a week or two before we go,
mm-hmm.
then it all melts.
Yeah.
And that tends to often trigger the browns. They'll start to run and start to run up like the Gardner. They'll run up these different streams. Or they start to move up the Yellowstone, and it's just they start to move, and
mm-hmm.
so we've had some great streamer fishing,
yep.
great days, even some days on dries.
Last year, you think about it, we were pretty late in October, and we had like 260-degree days. I mean, they started out, remember, at like 19, 20 degrees.
Yes.
We left. We stayed in West Yellowstone, but we fished the northeast section of the park. We had to because that road was closed coming in from Gardner, Montana, because of flooding. And so we had to drive a ways, but it was like 19, 20. But then by the time we hit the rivers that we fished, it was 55, 60 degrees. It was beautiful. But all that is to say, if you're going to fish the edges, you have to be prepared for
weather
extremes. And you never know. I mean, we've had snow early October, and then last year, we're late October, and it's 60. So you never know. But you do have to prepare for that. And, of course, moisture is a fly fisher's best friend, or sometimes enemy as well. But man, we've had some great days on the river when it's snowing.
Oh my gosh.
I would prefer light snow or snow rather than rain.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
you
easier
surely don't
to
get
deal
as
with.
Wet.
No, you really don't.
Well, even this spring, I had one of my best years on a creek in southern Minnesota. Again, we're talking about driftless, so spring creeks, but within about an hour and a half, I caught 7 out of almost the same run.
Mm-hmm.
I think I caught 5
yeah.
out of the same run, and then 2 others. My mom was in the hospital at the time at Rochester. And I took my fly rod
mm-hmm.
along. I went over to see her, and then I just on the way home, I just took a little detour down
mm-hmm.
to, Forestville Mystery Cave State
yeah.
Park,
mm-hmm.
and fished Canfield, and
yep.
And I had probably one of the better days I've ever had
yeah.
there. But it was cold. It was about 35 degrees.
Yeah.
It was a lot of snow on the ground, so you had to park a long ways away from the creek, or at least a lot farther from the creek. And it was cold, it was damp, it was dark, it was gray. And I had all these thoughts in my mind, man, I should be just heading back home. Why am I even fishing? But I fished, I went to those runs that we talk about that we
mm-hmm.
want to go to. And it wasn't that run, it was a different run up. It was the next run
up.
Oh,
yeah, okay. All right.
And mm-hmm. And I just started slinging, I think I caught him on a hare's ear, really
okay.
tiny hare's ear.
Oh, that's always
yeah.
a good choice.
So anyway, the point is fishing
mm-hmm.
the edges of the season. It's going to be cold.
Yep.
The weather is mercurial,
mm-hmm.
so you have to plan on that. So if you're only a warm weather fisher, you'll struggle to fish on the edges.
I'll never forget, Dave, the year when you came out to Montana. It was in the late 90s, I think, and you were out there on some business writing project, and we had a common friend, Dave Hansen, who you and I had scheduled a couple times to fish, but there was a day when Dave Hansen invited us out, said, hey, you want to go, we'll fish the bear trap, you know, the Madison River, and you said, I mean, you went, and I was debating it, and probably to this day I regret it. I said no. And it's like, I got too many things to do. But you guys had a fantastic day. I mean, this is February.
It was the last day of February.
Yeah.
It may have been a leap year. It may have been February 29th.
Okay. So, again, edges, and you guys just nailed them. They were hitting midges. And, you know, again, I always think, fishing doesn't really start till maybe March 15th, and maybe March 30th is even better. But, yeah, there it is. There's that early spring. It was cold and snowing, and, man, you guys, you really did it. Really
well, the one thing I remember about that trip is that there was a foot of snow in the parking lot. We were the only person in there.
Oh, yeah.
And we, maybe a foot and a half, and he had this little VW van. I
think it was a VW van. Yes, that's right,
his van. Was it orange?
Yeah, yep.
Yep, mm-hmm. And so we drove until we got stuck. We got stuck, and we thought, well, we're not going to dig ourselves out. We'll worry about that when we get back. We jumped out, put our waders on, and walked up the river. It was not too far from that boulder field, the rocks there.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And they They were just sipping these tiny, tiny midges, and I don't know how many we caught and released there. It was just an amazing day.
Man.
It was cold, snow coming down. You were wet by the time you got in, and you had just caught 8 to 10 fish in, 90 minutes.
Oh, man, that's amazing. So what we're saying is, if you want to do well fly fishing, learn to live on the edge. Fly fish the edges of the season for less crowds, more accommodations at reasonable prices, and some great fishing. So, Dave, let's live on the edge.
Yeah, or just maybe on the fly fishing edge. I think we're a little old for the edge.
I agree. All right. Well, that's all for today. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
Until next time, we are two guys in a river.
For the love of fly fishing.